gotten it perfected. Yeah.
Scott, we're playing?
We'll see.
All right. Bonnick, have you guys ready to roll?
I'm ready.
Good.
Yes.
Good morning. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're here in the 12th floor of the Capitol today for a work session, actually our third work session, on case number PU07759, Northern State Power Company's Fargo to St. Cloud 345 KV line, also known as CapEx. I'm joined today by my colleagues, Commissioner Fetch and Commissioner Kramer. I would turn it over to them for any opening comments. Commissioner Kramer.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody. Look forward to working through yet one more version of the order, and appreciate the work of council and staff on the complexities of this and trying to get it just right so we can be comfortable with it. And I've got a little ways to go, so I'm hoping today's makes real progress for me.
Commissioner Fetch, do you have any?
Well, good morning.
You got to turn the green light on. There we go.
Good morning. It's good to be here. This is my my second hour on the job. So I'm going to look forward to the session so I can get up to speed on what this is about. And I'm sure staff will enlighten me. And commissioners, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bonnie. For just kind of purpose of a general update, the purpose of the work session is basically for staff and the commissioners to get together and talk about it. We've done this now several different times. I think maybe for sake of just not expediency, but if we could start with the questions that Commissioner Kramer and I had last time about some of the specifics as a went into Minnesota. And after we walk through that, maybe then just do a general walkthrough of the order, and then we can see where the discussion goes. So with that, I'll turn it over to...
This is the copy they have.
And also we're joined by Jerry Lane from staff and Mitch Armstrong, council.
Yeah, I've made a couple little changes to this copy yet that they don't have, but they're just little things.
Okay. Say, just if I might, before we start, I think so that the record is clear, we did receive, I received through my political website, a concerned citizen's suggestions, which I forwarded it immediately to Jerry. And they, of course, well after the closing of the record, obviously not able to be considered as evidence or testimony, and maybe just so that the record has that. Jerry, if you could bring us up to speed on that.
Sure, sure. Let me just tell you what it was. The lady from the Pleasant Township, that Bakke edition, had been talking with somebody that told her that there were room on a Minn Kota line or a Minnesota power line, but there's some lines that are south of there. And she thought that those structures were damaged in some wind and need some work. And it seemed like a good fit to put this line on those structures in that right of way and thus get it away from their area. With this issue, as we've discussed before, the routing is a half mile north of this addition to the city of Oxbow, the Bakke addition. And I've looked at it and inquired with the company and everything, and it doesn't really seem feasible to put this line on there enough to where...
Well, first of all, let me ask about the facts. I mean, is there, in fact, a Minnesota power line that has been damaged that they're rebuilding?
And I don't know what their schedule is on rebuilding or anything, and it's actually a Minn Kota line.
Where is it exactly?
It runs a couple miles south of Oxbow, running east and west across there. There's also another line in that same proximity that is the DC line that Minnesota Power is buying.
That DC line crosses the river south of Oxbow?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing? Okay, I always thought of
in that same area there.
Going north.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, too.
Because it does. Obviously, it goes north after it gets into Minnesota, more toward Bemidji.
Got to get to Duluth.
Or Duluth.
I think it is just south of there. I don't have exactly where it crosses, but it is right in that area. I don't know. Looking at it, we would have to open up this proceeding again to consider it. notice hearings, probably the whole thing all over again. And from my 10,000 foot look at it, it doesn't seem like it's feasible.
Well, let me back up though for a second. I would, I guess I would probably agree, although I don't know for sure, that it wouldn't be feasible to attach it to somebody else's poles. But what about the corridor itself? I mean, is that infeasible? I mean, I realize that the geographic redundancy and you know, has value certainly, but
your reliability differences, I don't know how much that would mean. You know, usually you don't like to put lines like that right next to each other, because if there's an outage or something and both of them go down, you
in a weather-related outage.
Yeah, and so I don't know if that's been studied as to what happens with both of them going down. They have to meet reserve requirements. They have to be able to operate in a what's called an N-1 state, which means that if they lose any one contingency, they can't lose the load. And so their reserves that they have set are to handle their biggest contingencies.
And Bonnie, this CapEx 2020 line is largely what's considered a reliability line, so it enhances the rigors of the grid, and so geographic diversity guards against a singular weather event taking down more than one contingency. So that's the value of all of that. At the same time, there's tremendous efficiencies, obviously, especially at a river crossing, you know, to existing corridors. And it's not like we avoid them altogether, but by and large, that is a reliability issue.
So basically, the thought was on the homeowner's part that there's an existing easement through there.
Mm-hmm.
And the company would say, well, it's not for this line. We'd have to go back and get all of those landowners. And it's not our easement. It's Minnesota's or Minnesota Power's. And so we'd have to convince them to want to go back and get easements from all of their. And so whether they could even get that other company to do that would be questionable. That company.
Well, I wouldn't judge that, Jerry. I mean, I guess I'm not. Yeah. I'm not judging it either way, but inconvenience to XL Energy is low on my list of concerns.
Yeah, well, the question is whether or not those other companies would allow it.
And I'm not answering it for those other companies, is my point.
But it does bring the question, though, of because, like Commissioner Kramer, I mean, I get an email about a week from someone that has an idea about this project.
Yeah.
So what I do is I take them and forward them to Scott for filing. And so it comes down to the question of, how do you walk through the process of opening up the case again? Or how do you close it down so you make sure you've amply asked these questions for when it comes time to make a decision, someone says you didn't consider this. I mean, the short answer is you can always say it wasn't considered, it wasn't there for the hearing. But the reality is if there's an idea that comes out that wasn't available at the hearing, the commission can open it back up again and go out and look at that.
Yeah, and I think you could also, if you want to know more about it, make an official inquiry. What about this? Open up the record and do that if you want.
It would be nice to see a map of what they're talking about exactly to where.
I have a map I can go grab for you if you'd like.
Well, I think Brian's point, I mean, the point is that if we're going to consider
it's not
this,
in the record, though.
Yeah. What do we do next if we're going to consider this?
Yeah.
And I'm not even judging that right now. But I'm not ruling it out either.
So,
because I've never been very comfortable with the way where this line crosses the Red River, I think I've been pretty consistent on that, and nor have I been real comfortable with the company's efforts to find the best possible route across. I think they've found one that works for them, and they've asked us to bless it based on the record. And like we said last time, our job isn't to find the best possible route. Our job is to judge the existing one, but at the same time, we're the only advocates the people have. And so, issues as sensitive as crossing a river and close to, you know, population centers are pretty significant. You know, the welfare, besides cultural and natural resources, the welfare of the citizens is, you know, it's one of the notice issues. So that's why I continue to be a little bit nervous about this one.
So I guess it's something to think about is if you want to put this into the record, you could do an inquiry and ask about it. What about this? Probably Mitch should have the details on how to go about doing that.
Well, I mean, I can say two things. One, obviously, and everybody knows here, our decision can only be based on what's in our record. We can talk about these other things to the extent they affect the ability or decision to reopen the record. I can tell you from, I'll just give you maybe a little update on what I've done since, what Jerry and I have done since the last work session, and just for Judge or Commissioner Fetches, I'm used to calling.
You had to take this demotion to be a commissioner.
So,
can you believe that? What a servant.
Just kind of to put the scope on it, we've had, this is our third work session. The first one we went through kind of the, what do you want to call them, non-controversial points, and kind of said we were okay with that stuff in there, and we still had some outstanding issues for staff investigation and things of that nature. And then, you know, there were some additional record information provided. Two of those issues appear to have been resolved. The third one still remains the river crossing in the Pleasant Township area. And at the last work session, we kind of went back and forth on how much or how, you know, what to put in the order. And the instructions were essentially from that discussion to go through the record and kind of summarize it. And that's what I've done in the paragraphs, I believe it's 36 through 42. Right. You know, and it's obviously not word for word, but I've tried to summarize what's in the record as far as that river crossing and, you know, come up with a draft order. Now, it's obviously in the sense of approval, but it's the language itself is not necessarily contingent on approval or not. We have fixed a couple typos in there, so I would say we can ignore those. Jerry and I have talked about them and taken care of them, but I think that's probably our main starting point is the Oxbow Crossing and any concerns or whatnot with this language, because I've drafted in a way that obviously it's...
See, Mitch, one of the things that I, and this isn't new either, that outside of the crossing is that the struggle I've had is with this proposed diversion, how it affected, or potentially affected this route. And it's a proposed diversion. It's still that same argument for me. It's not a diversion that's going to be built. So if we're making decisions based on a diversion that never happens, although that's not our only reason we're going down there, but it's still this constant struggle back and forth that if there's a press release tomorrow that says the Fargo diversion is canceled, okay, then does that mean, then have we made the wrong set of decisions? Because there's a lot in the record about how the proposed diversion affected the decision process to get here. And that's the constant struggle that I've had in this case.
Yeah, and if to summarize, I guess, what is in the record on that, the company originally wanted a more northern location, about 4 miles north. During their public input sessions with that, they came across the proposed diversion.
And you talk about that in the paragraphs here.
Yeah, and because of the diversion's time schedule, 8 to 10 years, and the speculative nature of it, and the objections from City of Fargo and other local governments, they decided it was just too, I think, speculative, you know, whether those concerns exist or not, and also potentially objectionable and a barrier. And considering this is, you know, part of the whole grand CapEx 2020 scheme, they need it built before. Probably we'll know for sure where the diversion is, but at least on the present information, that's where the diversion looks to be if it's built, and so they decided it was prudent to avoid it.
Mm-hmm. And the reality, the reality then is that the timing of this project will be built long before the diversion, if it goes as ever, comes to fruition. I guess what I'm envisioning is suppose the project is moving forward and all of a sudden the diversion is no longer built. Then does someone come back and say, listen, Commission, you guys really should not have done this? Then our whole decision becomes, is there enough in the record that we could withstand that kind of sequence of events?
I think so, because based on the last work session, it was my impression from the commissioners that the location of the diversion wasn't necessarily the critical factor. I think it was critical in the sense of how we got to where we're at, but not necessarily critical in the decision whether to approve or disapprove this line. So I did not draft it in the sense that the diversion was critical to the commission.
See, what I would say in terms of my view of all of this is that I would agree the way you've summarized it. At the same time, the diversion is not unimportant either. I mean, it would be really kind of irresponsible in a way to build inside of the diversion, even if it's 25% likely to happen, knowing that you could go outside of it. So that's why my focus has never been on going further north. It's always been, is there a better route further south? I understand the whole reliability issue. The further from the load, the harder it is, the more difficult it is to tie in. But the reason I sort of reject that, and no one's ever really answered it to me, is this line turns north and goes practically into West Fargo. In other words, there's no. This line will never get closer to Fargo or to the load center than it already is.
We looked back at that in the record.
Yeah.
And they want to interconnect with some other lines. And then there's some lines that are planned for further into the future that there's talk about an interconnection with. And then they talk about having to build lines for voltage support in various areas of Fargo to this line. So they'll make additional taps from it.
I understand, Jerry.
Okay, so that's where their arguments
but,
are.
But here's my argument. This line, if it goes in it, right where that you're talking about now, and it turns north to Mapleton,
yeah,
there's nowhere other than moving this line further north where it'll ever get closer to the load in Fargo than it already is. See, we they talk about this as though the voltage ends when it crosses the Red River. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's going to go north. It's going right next to Fargo. It's crossing I-94. You know, my point is that we pretend like every argument I hear talks about a tie-in on the south edge of this thing. Why would you do that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Once this, it's not like it loses voltage as it goes toward Mapleton.
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying, but they're looking at it for future load support in South Fargo. I mean, that's
okay.
Fargo's expanding in that direction.
To be limited by the diversion. I mean, that goes back to just the reality of this.
That's right.
The complexities
that's right.
of this case is that.
I do understand what you're saying, though, about what if it's two more miles further south? Is it that big a deal? You know, maybe not.
Considering that this thing is turning north and going right, you know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. This argument of the tie-ins has always been based on as though the tie-in is going to take place at Oxbow. Well, why wouldn't the tie-in take place by the along, say, next to West Fargo or perhaps closer to Horace? Or
the main tie is going to be at that substation.
Of course it is.
West.
But I'm saying even further south, why wouldn't you tie in from the west into the east as opposed from the south to the north? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Kind of, but I think, though, that their reasoning for wanting to go closer on the south, I think they have some valid reasons to do that. But it's a trade-off.
Yes, it is. And because the real, if to be completely valid, this thing would run right through downtown Fargo, and it would cross at the main, Avenue Bridge, and it would go, if you're gonna carry that argument out, right? So anyway, I'm trying to have minimal adverse impact on the citizens of the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota, and they don't all live in Fargo. A lot of them do, and that's important consideration. So the other thing is that, and again, I appreciate Mitch's whoever wrote all this, but I mean, I still have this sense that Minnesota chose this river crossing.
The company chose it.
Of course they did. I understand.
And
that.
They proposed it there. And it so happened that it got approved there before it did here.
Yeah.
And like we were saying, that was largely due to the diversion project throwing the schedule off on them, too. So,
What is the in-service date they'd like to have this thing done by?
I'm thinking that we were looking at 2015 or something like that.
when I went through, I think it's their planned construction in North Dakota is winter of 2012-2013. I believe the in-service date, if my memory serves me, was hopefully, I think, fourth quarter 2014 or into 2015.
Well, I think what I'm hearing is that the Commissioner Kramer is not ready to vote on an order yet. And so I think that was where we're, I mean, getting right to where we're at, is that the, I like the changes in the order.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they're very good.
But if there's more information that a colleague wants, I'm not against it. I just, you know, because right now I think we're to the point where this is an order that we could vote on. And so that becomes, you know, we're right to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, you know, Commissioner Fetch probably maybe wants some more time to review this, because it's probably unfair to you to walk in, cast a vote on something this complex.
It is a big case.
Can I ask just a couple questions? Mm-hmm. Mitch, you drafted what's in red, the
yes.
changes. In number 37, it says Northern States Power preferred a route approximately 4 miles north of the proposed route. However, public input sessions revealed concerns with the route, and you're talking here about the diversion project. What? Who had the concerns? Was that the company, or
no?
Was that citizens, or who?
And just for kind of background here, and I don't, Commissioner, I don't know if you have it, but what happened is they went through this, at least according to their testimony, they went through this route selection kind of criteria, and I'll just briefly show you the map, and it's got numerous different corridors and routes, north, south, all over, okay? And they described their process as iterative, and so they would select a route, and they kind of, through that and evaluation of the commission's selection criteria, they kind of settled on this route 4 miles north, and then after they kind of have their initial route, they scheduled these public input sessions, and when they showed up at these sessions is when they testified they became aware of this diversion project and its potential limitations, and their opinion from those is that it just would not be practical or prudent to put the line where it may conflict with the diversion based on the schedule, and that was with the city of Fargo, the other local governments, and various citizens. They didn't provide tons of information on the specific names or any of the objections. They generally described what happened at those input sessions. So, but then they went back and had to, from their perspective, because they wanted further north for the tie-ins, they worked their way south again and settled on this route. If that answered your question.
So if the route would be 4 miles north, mm-hmm. what would be the advantage of that route?
Well, for the company, the advantage would be these reliability concerns. It's somewhat as Commissioner Kramer was discussing. I mean, from the company's perspective, everything else being outside the window, the effects on people, they'd prefer just a straight line right into the middle of City of Fargo, because that gives them, you know, better voltage control and all of that within the area, you know, without considering all the commission selection criteria. And so when they went, so they want to keep it as far north as possible.
And okay, and so Minnesota, apparently, they did act on the proposed route?
Yes, they approved this route around the city of Oxbow, 1.25 miles wide. And just for your information, the company at the hearing testified that there's kind of, when they go through that process, they have to identify two river crossings. This was the one ultimately selected, but somehow during or throughout Minnesota's process, which I'm not, you know, fully up to speed on their law, the company testified they do have a backdoor, so to speak. If North Dakota and Minnesota don't line up, they can go back to Minnesota and try to line them up.
Okay. And, okay, it says in 39 it says something about not impeding construction of proposed diversion. What I'm hearing, though, is that there really is no proposed diversion. It's not proposed. It's speculative. Well, or is there a proposed
It's probably both. I mean, the city of Fargo is proposing a diversion project, or is advocating for one from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the whole diversion team. This language in 39 comes basically directly from three pieces of correspondence we've had with the city of Fargo. who objects fairly strongly, as I gather from the letters, to that basically any location further north than where it is at right now.
Anything on the what they would call the dry side of the diversion, they'd like this thing outside of the area that they're where they're going to have their development zone.
So what would happen if the line were put in, I assume, the most optimal place, which would be that 4 miles north, and then there would be a diversion project going in. What would happen then?
Would
they have to move lines then, or?
What I can tell you on that, and just for clarification, as far as optimal, that's what the company would prefer as far as optimal goes, you know, for their location of it. They're worried about what the spoil piles from the diversion, what effect they would have on the lines. I think the company said that their line could exist on the dry side of the diversion, but they're worried about what happens during construction and having to work around those lines and maybe having to raise them or lower them in areas or move them. And that's part of the problem with the diversion, you know, obviously not being there yet or not having a final plan. It's somewhat difficult to evaluate exactly what effect the construction of the diversion would have on the lines.
So where it ended up at was kind of a compromise with the city. And I think the city had a large say in where the route finally went.
I think to just boil it down and call it what it is, I think the company recognized that if they proposed this route 4 miles north, the city of Fargo was going to come in and object very, very strongly to the route and the corridor, and the company did not think they would be able to get approval with that strong objection.
Well, and I think to validate that, Mitch, I mean, we had a pretty strong letter from the mayor of Fargo, and then and their objection was withdrawn. So it wasn't even just, you know, guessing.
Speculative.
Yeah, he was pretty clear. In fact, were they going to intervene and maybe withdrew their intervention decision based on their new? So that's why I don't think it's imprudent to go outside on the dry side, even given the speculative nature of the diversion. I'm just not convinced it has to be on the very northern edge of the south side. You know, that's my only.
Well, but you've been
maybe, but I just
have
not
a point. What if the proposed diversion plan changes and the diversion goes farther south and includes Oxbow? I mean, you've got folks that are lobbying for that right now as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought of that as well. That if they really want to go that route, then they should have been completely south, around even south of Oxbow and Horace. I mean, so. But where are we at? I guess it comes back to the same point of either.
Yeah.
I suspect Commissioner Fetch wants us more time to review this.
When would be the next time we could act on it?
Well, we have a meeting July 11th. We'll have one 2 weeks later. I mean, that's why I asked the time. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking some more time for you to go through this and ask any more questions. But I would, Commissioner Kramer's point, though, about this the correspondence you had, it wouldn't. I'm not saying open up the hearing again by any means, but how do we take a look at that a little bit deeper, if you will, if at all appropriate?
Can we issue a request for some sort of a briefing or something on it? I mean, we only got the one party.
That's what I was going to say. At least there aren't interveners. There aren't. Well, there are citizen objectors. There aren't interveners. So I don't know if that helps the process or not, Mitch. I mean, due process is still important, obviously. And there could be interveners if we start considering a different
one. Here's the concern, and as we've said before, I mean, we can't base our decision on what's not in our record. Now, the statutes and the rules allow staff to continue to conduct an investigation. I hesitate to talk too much about those areas. I think we can talk about further investigation to the extent the commission wants it to consider whether to reopen the hearing or whether the commission is ready to act on it now. If you want further investigation, Jerry and I can certainly do that, and I think our report back to you would be most appropriate in the form of, do we recommend reopening or not, and here's why. And then at that point we could discuss those reasons, but it always gets a little touchy when we start talking about those things that can't be part of the official decision.
Okay, but the thing, though, is that I'm sure we all get emails, letters every week from folks that have ideas about let's talk about the Minn Kota line. All the way up until the day we voted on that, we were getting recommendations to move things around, but we got to where we voted on it. Maybe in this case is that we give this some time for Commissioner Fetch to review it. If she's comfortable where we're at in this order and I'm comfortable where we're at, then maybe we have a path forward. If we're not, then we're not, is about what it comes down to, I think. So I would say that. Let's just schedule another work session, maybe the week after the 11th, and then let Bonnie have a seat, you know, then because the three of you, I think, can sit down any time and go through this. It would be very helpful. And then
I'm a little bit tied on how much I can, you know, can. We didn't do anything with anything further south in the record.
Yeah, that's right, except, Jerry, this. The only thing we did quote further south in the record is I kept inquiring about it at the hearing. Because I've never been very, you know, I've never been real comfortable with this, as you know. So it's not like, you're right, we don't have any more evidence. We don't have, you know, the company, understandably, once they find a pretty good route, they don't include other information because they don't want it to be considered. I understand that. But my inquiry of witnesses included realizing it's longer, realizing it might impact more people. It's not so much the volume of impact as it is the depth of impact that I'm concerned with. So other corridors, including the I-29 corridor, all these things were part of at least my inquiry. So I'm just, I think Brian's got the right point. I think in terms of an investigation, I'm not asking you to investigate further evidence. I'm asking you to investigate other possibilities and then come to us with a suggestion or advice as to whether or not we ought to reopen.
And I guess my point, frankly, was, you know, Jerry and I can know one, and the commissioners obviously can practically know, you know, things that you know that aren't in the record. But,
right.
I mean, Jerry and I can dig and you know, talk about those things and then come back here. I mean, the important part is when the commission makes a decision to have it based on the record.
Yeah. Yep, and I want to be comfortable with the decision. If it's a yay on the current, what we have in front of us, order we have in front of us, then I need to have the comfort level that I've examined all other options and opportunities and given everybody the due process because that's, you know, like I said, we're the only advocates the citizens have.
And I agree with that. And, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good plan to, you know, give me some time to look at what this all involves. And I love maps. I like to be – visuals are good for
me. Oh, man, you're going to love this job.
If you're in this you could dial up the hearing and listen to it.
And I may very well want to do that. And, you know, and then
– we can talk some.
Yeah,
too.
Yes. And I did – you know, prepare notes, and so I could then have to listen to the hearing numerous times. That I can help you with some locations in the hearing transcripts of where this particular issue was discussed. Anyway,
but sorry, Bonnie.
No, that's fine.
I was going to say, but I guess for my purpose, the order that you have developed, I like it. It's what we asked you to do.
Yep. Oh, it's very good.
So I think if as we go forward, we schedule a work session. You know, the next meeting, the 11th, we can schedule a work session. And then at that work session, I think we'll be able to really figure out where exactly we're headed. I think one thing, we'll have an order that we're getting to vote on, or we'll have a thought that, you know what, we need more information. I think it'll break out pretty clearly then.
I think that's right.
I'm comfortable with that. Sounds good.
Okay. Any more for the good of the order?
Nothing for me.
Okay. With that, I'll close the work session on case number PU07759. Thank you.
Thank you.
I gave you that, right?
No, we're still, as long as that red time. Now Scott comes out.
You want it?
Okay.